Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from our special guest.
I want to introduce to you guys Bob Long. He has been a friend and mentor to me here most recently, especially. The Lord just kind of called it out and just said it. I'm just so thankful for you, Bob, and for his wife, Leslie. We just are so... We are so deeply treasured by having this man here, you guys. And I don't want you guys to miss what he has to offer, not just in his words, but in the grace that he carries, in his heart that he brings as a father in this place. And he really does carry the heart of the father. So I just want to bless you, and I'm going to pray over you.
Thank you.
Bob, I know, Lord, that you have anointed this man, God, and this is a season where you're taking him into new things and into new places, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that though we know all the things that you've done in his life in the past, Father, that you're building upon those things right now as he declares and decrees your excellence, God, and who you are as a father. Lord, your call on the ecclesia in this time more than ever before, Lord, I thank you. The message that burns in Bob's heart is for your children to arise into who they say, who that you say that we are. And Lord, that we come into the fullness of that, and that the dreams and the desires that he has prayed and prophesied into, Lord, the years of plowing and pioneering, God, I ask that he would see the fruit of his labor in this time, that he would see the fruit, Lord, of his labor and his prayers and all the ways that he has influenced, God. I thank you that you've kept him in the hidden places, Lord, and in secret places, Lord. But I thank you that you're also calling him to arise and to come forward in a fresh way right now, Lord, to lead us this morning especially. Lord, I ask that his words be anointed. I ask that your power come upon him right now and fill him fresh in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for him. And we receive him as the man of God that he is, as the apostle and as the father that he is, Lord. I thank you. We receive him, and we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to have your way this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Remind me on my time now. Where do I need to stop?
Never.
Yeah. You're a man after my own heart, brother. So Cindy, Jay, what time I need to stop? Or I don't know what's going to happen at the end as far as ministry, but okay, all right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Listen, thank you so much, Cindy, and just for the prayer and the declaration. I appreciate that so much, and. And some of you haven't met my beautiful wife, Leslie. She will be here for the early service, not the second. She's got a nana chore that she has to do this and go pick up our grandson. But Leslie, wave your hand, honey. Hallelujah. 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 I love where we've been this morning in the worship. I'm going to try to just get right on mission. Pastor Jay has been teaching for weeks on the Holy Spirit, right? And so my blessing is to bring kind of one of my favorite parts about teaching, understanding on the move and on the power and on the foundational need that's built into the body of Christ for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in John 4, for example, Jesus talks about whosoever believes on me shall have this well of salvation. So in John 4, Jesus speaks of salvation as a well of living water from the inside, right? You guys know that verse. But in John 7, Jesus begins to speak about receiving the Holy Spirit, that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit or receive the Holy Spirit, that's different than being born of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure, Pastor Jay, I've missed some of his teachings on that because I was ministering other places, but I've caught a couple of them. And so I know you're well taught, but it's really important. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And hey, could you turn that lid for me? Thank you, thank you. I can't do much with my left hand at all, brother. So I'm born a right-handy for sure. So in John, he talks about that salvation is a well of living water. It's out of his belly springs of living water shall flow. But in John 7, Jesus begins to talk about and uses the same terminology that there's a river of living water when you receive the Holy Spirit. So the New Testament teaches that there's three terms that are synonymous. This is really helpful because a lot of people have been mistaught or we've had inaccurate teaching in other places, other times, other seasons through the years. And so you'll find the New Testament teaches that there's a receiving the Holy Spirit. There's baptism of the Holy Spirit. Those are synonymous. Being filled with the Spirit is synonymous. Those three things are different than being born of the Spirit. Receiving the power of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, all mean the same thing. But that all comes after you've been what? Born of the Spirit, right? And so we clarify that. I want to just start there because I love the fact that the well of salvation, the well of living water that'll never run dry flows up in me because my spirit, we get born again in our spirit. You guys know that we are created spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5. That we are in our spirit man, when we're born, we inherited Adam's fallen nature, right? And that we have to get born again, that we're dead, we're born with the nature to sin. Nobody had to teach me how to sin. That's why those little wonderful little toddlers fight over the toys. We're born with a sin nature. And that's a spiritual thing. We're born dead in sin. Our spirit has to be reborn. That's what redemption is about, right? You guys know that. Say yes. And so then we get born again. And we're born of the Spirit, and we're redeemed. That's salvation, and it's completely separate from being filled with the Spirit, being baptized in the Spirit, or receiving the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to go through the book of Acts, and we're going to hit this because I've seen it. Listen, Les and I came out of the whole 60s, early 70s psychedelic culture. We got born again, delivered, and that marvelous mixture of the Jesus people movement and the charismatic movement of the late 60s and early 70s, we were born again into that. And we were young people at 19 or 20. And we sat through a couple of years, of course, we experienced it, but we watched countless, I'm just telling you, countless over those years, wonderful Christian people who had been inaccurately taught or incomplete teaching on the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some of you are sitting in this room today. But I watched Baptists and Methodists and Catholics and Lutherans that had been walking with God all their life, some of them, but had always been taught that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and tongues and the power of the Spirit wasn't for today and that the gifts of the Spirit weren't for today. And so you guys are well taught in this church and you know that is not accurate. Say yes. Come on. But what I do want to do this morning, and Pastor Jay has asked me to do this, and I love it because there's a fire in me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a fire in me about the men and women of God breaking through into the language of the Spirit, into tongues and a freedom of praise and prayer in a supernatural language. Jesus said we have a well of that living water when we get born again, but when we get baptized or get filled or we receive the Holy Spirit in that second experience, if I can say it that way, then that well becomes a river of living water because it flows out to others. And so in the book of Acts, and I've seen this help so many people, that we simply go through the five recorded instances in the book of Acts where the Bible records and tells us specifically, explicitly, what happened when people were being filled or baptized. Come on, you understand what I'm saying about the terminology? People used to get all confused on that. The devil's always trying to make stuff hard. The religious spirit always wants to make things hard. Come on. The spirit of religion and that subdue spirit always wants to push things down, push things out, push things back, and hide them if he can to keep the people of God from being free. See, we, even in our church life, and I'm not talking about any particular place, but even in church life, for years we came into this subdued thing because church was so geared towards individuals, and we never had a revelation that we're not only individuals in God, we're a people with a capital P, a people of God. And on Sunday morning, we're not only here to drink and to get our needs met, and that's wonderful and powerful. Come on, yes, yes, yes. But at the same time, there's times when the people of God, when they gather, there needs to be a roar, there needs to be a shout. Come on, our job's to kick devil butt.
Yes, right. That armor, put it on.
So in the book of Acts, I am in the right place. Hallelujah.
Yes.
In the book of Acts, there are five times that clearly display and explicitly explain and record what was going on when people actually got filled with the Spirit or baptized in the Spirit or received the Holy Spirit. Simultaneous terms, right? Say simultaneous. They all mean the same thing. Come on. So the first one is in Acts chapter 2. And if you're going to turn there, you don't have to. But remember that in Acts 1:8, and I don't want to go too far on this because I want to get to these five, but you have to understand about Pentecost. At the resurrection, Jesus, Matthew 28, Jesus called the apostles to himself after the resurrection. The scripture says he spent the next 40 days teaching them personally and privately, if I can say it that way, on the kingdom of God. Scripture specifically says he was teaching them on the kingdom of God because he was preparing them for a level of not just intimacy, but of power and authority that they were going to come into in fulfilling in the beginning of the expressing, stay with me, of Matthew 16, where Jesus prophesied and declared, I'm going to build an ecclesia in the earth. And he was speaking to those disciples, come on, and he said, I'm going to build an ecclesia in the earth, and the government and the gates of hell shall not be able. The government of hell has neither the authority, exousia, or the dunamis power to prevent the ecclesia church from prevailing in the earth. And so that begins to express in the earth at the resurrection. He then comes back and calls those same disciples and said, okay, next step. Next step is I'm going to teach you about the kingdom for 40 days, and you're going to receive power, Acts 1:8. You're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So at the resurrection, he's teaching them about the kingdom, and then he says to them that I must return to my Father, and he gives them the Great Commission. He said, I'm commissioning you, come on, to disciple the nations of the earth. The church has fell into unbelief, into believing that we can't really do that, that all this horrible stuff's going to happen and blah, 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 blah. But Jesus either lied or he was a false prophet when he said the ecclesia has the authority and the power over the government of hell. So that automatically postures the ecclesia of God, the church of God, of Jesus Christ technically, it automatically positions the church in an offensive posture for as long as the church exists on the earth until Jesus returns. The Great Commission is the start of the fulfillment of Matthew 16. Does that make sense? And then he tells them, and then he says, so I'm commissioning you to disciple the nations, go into all the world. You know the verses there. He said, but wait to start that. Until the Father sends the Spirit in my name.
Come on.
Because he's going to send it in my name. So you know what happened there. So 40 days later, and he tells him, wait in Jerusalem. Wait, seek the Lord, don't do anything, just wait. So 40 days later, the resurrection comes into the ascension, right? And at the ascension, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. There's more verses about that than we can talk about. And he's seated at the right hand of God, not on some soft chair, not in his recliner, not on a stool. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God on the throne of David. Come on. Because Israel had been promised by the prophets for centuries that Israel would never lack a man to sit on the throne of David. Jesus is the Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. He sits on the throne today at the right hand of God. And Psalm 110 declares specifically the most quoted Old Testament verse in the New. Then Psalm 110, the Father says, Jehovah says to Adonai, etc. David says, the Father said to the Son. Psalm 110, the Father says, be seated here at my right hand until. Just say until. The Father says to the resurrected, who has already gone and took the keys of the kingdom and of death, hell, and the grave. He's taken them back from the devil while his body was in the tomb. Come on. This is Jesus. This is who he is. And this is Christianity basic 101. The resurrected Jesus had taken everything that Adam had lost. So the first Adam was fulfilled all that he lost in the last Adam. His name is Jesus. Come on. And the last Adam has said, I'm going to build an ecclesia in the earth, and the government of hell, the gates of hell, can't prevail against it. So where does that put us? It puts us with a call on our life, every one of us, to be this force in the earth. But individually, we have to get the whole package of equipping that comes from all that Jesus did. Come on, hear me. In the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and enthronement. So on the day of Pentecost, it wasn't just an outpouring of the Spirit. It was the coronation that was legal. It was a legal, covenantal coronation, installation, implementation of a new level of something in all of creation, because in Matthew Jesus said again, the Great Commission, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. In heaven and in earth. And there's only two realms, the spiritual realm that you can't see and the natural realm you can see. That's heaven, that's earth. Jesus said, all of the authority has been given to me. Therefore, I'm commissioning you to disciple the nations of the earth. And you're going to receive power, dunamis, after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He'd already breathed on them. They were born again. And he told them to now wait upon, to be seeking him. And so 40 days later, the coronation, the installation of Jesus as the king at the right hand of God upon the throne of David, that was when it was finished. When he was coronated king, and in Acts 2, number one of our five, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that happened there was an overflow of the anointing oil that flowed down over the head of Jesus the king as the coronating oil was poured down upon him, and the oil fell down in that upper room. Come on. And two things happened to begin with.
Fire! Come on!
You with me? Keep your seatbelts buckled. I got a long ways to go. Come on. You see what I'm saying about the historical Christianity? It's like, oh my gosh. Because we've got this revelation of pieces. But it's never a piece. From Genesis to Revelation, it flows one covenant. Not one covenant, but one flow of history, process, etc. You see what I'm saying? It all connects. So Jesus arrives at the throne room of God, and Psalm 110 describes what the coronation, it was a seating of Jesus upon the throne, where he received absolute lordship in its fullness, because he also took on the kingly role now, prophet, priest, and king. Come on. He couldn't be king until he was seated on that throne. And the Father said, and you're going to be seated here at my right hand until I make, Father says, to the ascended, coronated king son, be seated at my right hand until I make all your enemies your footstool. So folks, quit worrying about some antichrist. Quit worrying about some deal. Listen, man, there's all kinds of antichrists out there. There's a spirit of antichrist been around for 2,000 years. I find him all the time. He waits for me. Anyway, we confront each other often.
That's right.
First John says there's many antichrists.
That's right.
The focus of the church has to become who Jesus is so that we can have revelation, supernatural truth alive in our bones, in our spirit of who Jesus is, to be able to know by revelation, miraculously, supernaturally, of who we are as a people in the earth, the ecclesia, that our destiny is to see that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covers the earth until the knowledge of the Lord covers the earth like the waters cover the sea. And every nation will have to make a choice. Every individual will have to make a choice, because the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Isaiah chapter 2 says that in the last days, not some whatever millennium, in the last days, the mountain, Isaiah 2, the mountain of the house of the Lord is going to arise and become the chief of the mountains. And the nations, read your Bible, pray every day, you will grow.
Yes.
Isaiah 2 says, in the last days, brother, that the mountain of the house of the Lord is going to arise and become the chief of the mountains. And the nations are going to stream to it and say, let's go up to Zion and learn the ways of God.
Yes.
Individually, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, receiving the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost, secondary to being born again. It's the requirement, being born again. Come on, hear what I'm saying? So this thing is important. It's not optional. You can go to heaven without it, but who wants to go to heaven and live your life with no power? And then those of us that are baptized in the Holy Spirit and have a language that comes with it supernaturally, half the time we don't use it. Listen, man, I'm too old to care what anybody thinks. I've walked in this for 45 years. They've come too late to tell me what's not true. I've seen it. Too many nations. Come on, hear what I'm saying? I'm saying this to inspire you, to encourage you. So in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven. And what happened there is that anointing that overflowed in Psalm 110 down into the upper room. Come on, like Psalm 133, that the anointing upon the high priest Aaron, the anointing oil poured down over his head and fell down onto his body, as it prophetically symbolizing that the high priest Aaron, when it happened to him, it also happened when the high priest was seated on the throne and prophet, priest, and king, son of David, son of man, son of God, was put upon the throne of David to rule until the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covers the earth, until all his enemies are made under his feet. And then the bride becomes so mature and so powerful and so reflective of the nature and DNA of Christ himself. Ephesians 5 says that Jesus himself is bringing forth a bride in the earth that is going to be mature and perfected. And Jesus, the last Adam, is going to look at the bride like the first Adam and looked at Eve. And Jesus is going to look at the church and says, now that's flesh of my flesh, and that's blood of my blood, and that's what's bringing me back. I'll come marry her when she looks like that. The devil doesn't decide. Come on. We got to get all this negative stuff out of us. We got to get all this fear stuff out of us. We need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need to be praying in tongues every day. Come on, we need to be praying in tongues supernaturally all the time. Come on, because there's power in it. Acts chapter 2, so the power of God came in the room, and it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other languages. They weren't preaching in tongues. Come on, Peter stood up and preached. Peter stood up and preached. They were praising and worshiping in supernatural languages. Come on. Way beyond the languages of the known world that were there present among the Jewish men that were in Jerusalem. You hear what I'm saying? Paul said, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Come on. There are languages, the supernatural language that comes with the Holy Ghost is not limited to some earthly language. Come on. There's supernatural languages. There's languages from heaven that get deposited in your spirit. But you have to open your mouth by faith. You have to move your tongue. You have to let something bring forth. You have to do it. When I first came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was so hungry. We'd only been saved about a month. We knew. I read everything. The first concordance I ever had, I looked up every verse that had Holy Spirit in it. And even as a new believer, at 19 years old or 20 years old, I could tell that I read every verse. And every verse that it ever even mentions the Holy Spirit, something crazy is happening. Conviction of sin in people's hearts, or deliverance, or power, or manifestations, or gifts, or miracles, a Holy Ghost. Ah. Come on. Sometimes we just have to roar. That spirit of subtleness and that quiet thing gets out of hand and it tries to shut us down and make us whatever. Hear what I'm saying? Years ago, when that song Break Every Chain got popular, you know, I love that song. But the melody went like a top 40 song. Break every chain, break every chain. I'm like, I love that song. I love the guys that wrote it. But I'm like, they must have not come out of this kind of background I came out of. So I had to teach my worship leader, we're going to sing it like this. Break every chain, break every chain. We kept them, you know what I'm saying? Because it began to impact people. It began to make them feel like, you know what? He is breaking every chain in us, in me. Come on. So in Acts chapter 2, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on. And they spoke. So here's where the big hang-up is for most people. And it was for me. It was so holy and so powerful and so miraculous and that I had a holy fear. I didn't want to do it wrong. Come on. Unless then I'd sit under all the teaching. And so finally I was listening to a cassette tape and I was alone in our apartment in Austin, Texas, hippie capital of the South. And still is. God help us. And on the cassette was a wonderful South African teacher and prophet. And he was teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We had sat under him some. And that cassette tape came out of a meeting that I'd been in, less than I'd been in. And he gave an altar call over the baptism of the Holy Spirit and taught a while and gave an altar call. And I even knew who was in the meeting. And I even knew that there was only one person, it was a really small meeting, and only one gal came forward to receive the baptism. So I even know who he was ministering to. So I'm sitting in our bedroom, and I was like, okay, Lord, okay. I'm so hungry, Lord. I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I know that the language of the Spirit comes with it. And so he's ministering to her, and I'm sort of pretending like he's ministering to me. So I can sense the presence of God. I could sense the presence of God. And I was in the process of opening my mouth and about to just by faith speak something out. Because then it hasn't, see the Holy Spirit doesn't have a physical tongue. The Holy Spirit doesn't have a voice box. They spoke as the Spirit gave them the language, the utterance. So today, if you've not broken through, if you've been like me, you've been hungry and you've asked, you know it's real, you know it's right, but you just haven't broke through into releasing it and moving into it, today's your day. Today's your day, online and watching live, and or whether it's later on recorded. This is that, and this is for you. It's for today. It's for us. It's for right now. They spoke. And so I was about to open my mouth. I was like, and then I heard this voice in my mind, and it said, you better watch out. You're dealing with the real thing. Well, I thought it was the voice of God. I was a newbie. Come on, right? So, well, I clapped my mouth shut. I mean, it scared me. I thought I'd done something wrong. So I had to wait another month. We drove the 4 hours, got in one of those meetings, and had some powerful, precious Lutherans, Methodists, Baptists, and you name it in that meeting, and they prayed for me, and man, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. You know, and I'm still thinking this is so holy that the power of God's going to like throw me on the ground and some language is going to jump out. So I'm still waiting. And they're all like, well, Pat, we really sense you. You're really, God's heard you. You're filled. And I'm like, so then Leslie and I, that night when we went to my brother's house where we were staying, I trapped and cornered my sister-in-law, who at that time was pretty shy, but she was full of the Holy Ghost. So I set her down and I said, "You listen to me. I know that tongues goes with this. I know that the language of the Spirit comes with this." And she said, "Well, maybe this will help you." And that's when she said, "The Holy Spirit doesn't have a tongue. It doesn't have a voice box. Doesn't have a physical voice. You have to do that." It said, the Bible says they spoke, but the Spirit in their spirit gave them a language. Light bulb. So I'm giving you the punchline here in case we run out of time and I have to just kind of shut this down in a little bit. Hear what I'm saying? That might be where you're at, see? That might be where you're at. You've been thinking, man, it's, you know, it's holy and it's, oh my gosh. And listen, you have to open your mouth, and by an act of your will and by faith, you have to open your mouth and begin to speak something. But Jesus said, see, in the Gospels, he said that if you ask the Father for bread, you're not going to get a stone. If you ask the Father for bread, you're not going to get a serpent. I mean, and there's this little list there, and it means that you're not going to get something from yourself, and you're not going to get something from the devil, because he's a good father. So, light bulb moment. So I said, okay, I think that helps me. So I need to hear you pray. And she was like, you know. Now, you have to know that 50 years later, 45 years later, she's like a roaring prophetic. I mean, oh my gosh. She's a prophetic intercessor and probably kind of evolving into a real prophetess. I mean, she's wonderfully dangerous. And she can pray in tongues. I mean, in fact, I've even been back to her in these days and said, how do you guys do that? How do y'all pray for hours and hours and hours and hours? And she said, you know how you love to study the word for hours and hours? And I said, yeah. She said, well, your gift, our gift. Because that went beyond her prayer language. You understand what I'm saying? Because there is a gift of tongues, etc. It's wonderful. So, Acts chapter 2, they are all filled with the Holy Ghost. They spoke in tongues. This will work for anybody that's born again, anywhere, at any age. Come on, I prayed over a man a few years ago, just a couple of years ago. He was 80-something years old, been in Pentecostal circles, but had never broken through into the prayer language. And we weren't even ministering on that. But he said, I just want to pray in tongues. I want the Baptist. You know, and I just said, in Jesus' name. You know. Well, in a minute, he's like, I mean, it was real, brother. It wasn't, come on, you hear what I'm saying? He'd been struggling for decades. My heart was broken. I'm like, what devil made that take so long? Hear what I'm saying? I was in a meeting another couple of years ago up in the Waco area somewhere, and a regional meeting. And man, when I got through with my portion of speaking, I had to walk out the door because I had to get back down here to be at a really, really important family gathering. And I was headed to the door, and this big guy stopped me and he said, please. And we weren't teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he stopped me and said, I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm like, what are the odds? So in the back of my heart and mind, I'm just saying, God, I'm trusting you, I'm trusting you, I'm trusting you. This man deserves what Jesus died to give him. Jesus died to give it to you. Jesus died to give you. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. And so, you know, and I just pretended like I had all day. But in 2 minutes, man, he was praying in tongues. He was just praying in tongues. It happens all kinds of ways and all kinds of. So Acts chapter 2, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And what happened there was they were mantled as the ecclesia. Not individually, they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come on. And the language of the Spirit. And then corporately, there was also that kingly governmental anointing that was coming down from the now installed King Jesus. And so in John 3, Peter and John went to pray. That was the first expression of the ecclesia. It wasn't the disciples and apostles in training anymore. It was the ecclesia, and they were now filled individually with the Holy Ghost and power. Come on. And they were corporately mantled with an authority that comes from Jesus, the King, who's now beginning the fulfillment of sending an ecclesia into the earth. You'll catch that later. So the next time is in Acts 8. Philip the evangelist went to Samaria. Philip went down to Samaria, the city of Samaria, pagan city. And Philip began to move in signs and wonders, and people were getting saved, multitudes were getting saved, and there was signs and wonders. And you know the story of Simon the sorcerer. So Simon the sorcerer had been bewitching the whole city because he was moving in the dark supernatural. The dark supernatural. But Philip comes, and people are being healed, and people are being set free, and people are giving their hearts to Jesus, and miracles were happening, all kinds of things. And Simon saw this, and he began to hear the gospel. He began to hear the gospel, and the Bible says Simon believed. But then it goes on to say that when Simon saw the apostles laying their hands on people and to receive, Scripture specifically says it, laying hands on people specifically to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. He whipped out he didn't get his money out when he saw miracles, but something happened when he saw the apostles laying their hands on people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He got money out, said, I'd pay money to have this authority. Now, it doesn't mention tongues there. There are five times in the book of Acts, three of them specifically, tongues, the language of the Spirit, happened instantly, individually, whether it was 100 or one. It's not, tongues are not mentioned there, but we know that out of that three, one of them, and we'll go there next, is Paul in Acts 9. So write this down, Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 9, Acts 10, and Acts 19. Those are five times where the New Testament records exactly what happened when people got filled with the Spirit. Three of them, they released the language of the Spirit on the spot. One of them that doesn't mention tongues is Philip in Samaria there in Acts chapter 8. We also know in Acts chapter 8 with Philip that all of these new believers were coming in addition to this issue with Simon the sorcerer, the apostles came down to Samaria. Read your Bibles, pray every day. We weren't raised in Sunday school, but I was taught that that's what people used to sing in Sunday school. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you will grow, grow, grow. I wasn't raised in Sunday school, so I never heard that song until I got around a bunch of charismaniac, crazy Holy Ghost people making fun of it. Anyway, in a good way. Hear what I'm saying? So the apostles in Jerusalem sent a team of apostles, and it didn't have to be apostles. I'm just saying this is the importance of what happened. When massive amounts of people were getting saved in the city of Samaria, the apostles sent a team to do one thing, Acts chapter 8, to do one thing, to lay their hands on people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit after they got saved. It's foundational to church life. It's foundational to the Christian life. It's foundational. It's foundational. It's foundational. Has nothing to do with you going to heaven. It has everything to do with heaven coming through you into the earth. Acts 9 is Paul. You know what happened there. Blinding light, Jesus revealed himself to him, and Paul got saved. Saul of Tarsus, the murderer, got saved, right? And then you know that Ananias, the Bible says, that God sent a certain disciple, wasn't an apostle, just a disciple. Who qualifies to move in these things? Everybody. That's YOU. God sent Ananias, and Ananias comes to Saul and he said, God has brought me here to do two things, to lay hands on you for healing and that you might receive the Holy Ghost. Because he'd gotten saved. He'd called Jesus Lord. Now, tongues are not mentioned there. But how many of you know Paul spoke in tongues? So now we know that four out of the five times in the book of Acts, tongues was foundationally a part of the experience, right? And it's not a one-time deal. You understand this is an ongoing, this is a language. Jude verse 20 says, when pray in the Holy Ghost, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. You get down, you get fear, you're whatever, afraid, whatever, you need to be praying in tongues in the shower, praying in tongues in the car, praying in tongues when you feel bad, praying in tongues when you feel good, praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. And then sometimes, you know, we let those subdued things get on us even when we're in church together and everybody's afraid to open their mouth. I'm not saying everybody give a message in tongues. I'm just saying when we're worshiping and standing and there's times when any of us need to roar, come on, or whatever. And there's times when people are praying in the spirit here and there, not shouting. Come on. I'm just saying we need to, come on. I'm kind of like ready to demonstrate with some folks, I missed that, about open up Texas in front of the governor's mansion. Anyway, hear what I'm saying? Sometimes I want to do that with a open up the church. Open this thing up. Open this thing up. Sometimes I get depressed in some churches I'm in. Anyway, Acts 2, Acts 8, that was Acts 9. Acts 10, Peter to the Gentiles, a really important one. Just going to touch on this, right? You guys know the story. Peter was sent by God to deliver the gospel to the Gentiles for the first time. To deliver the gospel to the Gentiles for the first time. So Peter begins to preach the gospel of who Jesus is. And brother, they got it because they'd been fasting, praying, and seeking God. They knew there was something going on. Come on. And God had to convince Peter, you know, the sheet, the vision. You know the story. All these unclean things. And Peter was being a little religious. Say, Lord, you know I ain't never touched any of that. And he said, whatever I make clean is clean. That's what he did with me. Not send him. He made the unclean clean. Come on, hear what I'm saying. So he's preaching the person of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus to these Gentiles. And they believed it in the midst of hearing it. And man, they're just believing. They're getting saved. And the Bible says in Acts 10, then they started just praying in tongues. I mean, they were just filled with the Holy Ghost. They got it all kind of in one, two package. And so then these Jews are like, what do we do now? We've never seen this before. And so Peter has a dialogue in Acts 10. And then they begin to talk about water baptizing them. Trust me, Peter wouldn't be wanting to water baptize them if he didn't think they were saved.
Come on.
Come on. And he said, we can't refuse them to be baptized because he knew they'd believe. And we know they've been filled with the Spirit in Acts 10, about verse 44, thank you. Because Peter said, we can't deny water baptism because we've heard them speaking tongues. Yeah. Come on. That's not a doctrinal thing. You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's a reality thing. It's like, oh my God, these guys got the full meal deal and we better baptize them. Lastly, Acts 5, Acts 19. I love this one. Paul came to Ephesus, right? It's a whole long, long history of things that happened in Ephesus through Paul. But Paul comes across some disciples. It doesn't say John's disciples, meaning John the Baptist. Paul comes along and finds disciples. And so he asks them specifically, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? See, it had nothing to do with them going to heaven. But he said, you've believed. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit? You got to understand, the gospel was still flowing. There were people getting bits and pieces. And they said, we've not even heard there was a Holy Spirit. Now, back in the days, in the late 60s and early 70s, all my older friends that were denominational people that had been taught all their life that there wasn't, you know, basically anything of the Holy Spirit that happens except conviction of sin, they used to all joke about it and said, one of my Baptist friends, and I love the Baptist, I do, have lots of Baptist friends. But I remember them joking, and I remember when I first heard this, and one of my friends that came, got filled with the Spirit and kicked out of those churches in those days. Come on. Did I mention renewal, reformation, ongoing progress, advancing of the kingdom, advancing of the church in the earth? See, we're not fighting over those things anymore because the move of God has continued in the earth. Come on. The Methodist church here can't figure out who Jesus is. I'm just saying. Come on. But the years I spent 15 years in Cuba, come on, the whole entire Methodist church was full of the Holy Ghost in Cuba. You go to the mission field, all the labels drop off. It's who's saved and who's not, who's full of the Holy Ghost and who's not, and who's casting out devils and who's not. Acts 19, Paul comes to Ephesus and says, have you received the Holy Ghost? Notice that the first thing he asked them when he sees that they're saved, the very next thing he asked them, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? That's how important it is. They sent apostles to the big breakout in the city of Samaria to make sure that these new believers were receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they deserved the whole gospel. They deserved to be filled with the Spirit and free to flow in tongues and flow in the gifts of the Spirit because the language of the Spirit's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of the doorway into the gifts of the Spirit and everything that goes with it. It's just the start. Come on. Then he asked him about, you know, well, what kind of baptism have you had? Meaning water baptism. I said, well, we've been baptized into John the Baptist baptism. So Paul, as what apostolic does, he set things in order, man. He helped them get water baptized in Jesus' name. Or, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, some doctrine. I'm just saying he baptized them in Jesus' name, right? And then he prayed over them, and they all got filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues and prophesy. So the law of deduction, the law of interpretation, the law of conclusion and deduction, every single time in the New Testament when people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit or filled with the Holy Spirit, come on, simultaneous turns, tongues comes with it. The language of the Spirit. And so I want to ask you guys just to stand up. It's not hard. It's not complicated. Come on. How hungry are you? And if you've been struggling for whatever, for years, today's your day. I've seen it in every a dozen nations. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of people. I've seen young people, old people. I've seen anybody. And anybody that can get saved can get baptized in the Holy Spirit and have a supernatural language flow out of them. And that's you. And so this morning, right here, right now, if that's you, let's raise our hands. Come on, let's just raise our hands. And listen, I'm going to just start praying in tongues. Just be warned. I'm going to be praying in tongues. Come on, it's the foundation. It's foundational. It's natural. It's not a big deal in that sense. Come on, we get all crazy religious sometimes and subdued. And come on. Holy, Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah. Yes. I sense the presence of God. This is the word of the Lord right out of Scripture. Father, thank you. Jesus. So just begin to pray in tongues. Just begin to pray in tongues. Those of you that flow in the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid. You don't have to whisper. Just don't shout, but just pray out loud. Hello, mo sante lo bohare ba son tande. Preman cante shi koro sante lo bohrante se. Pramashe. Right now where you are, just begin. If you've never prayed in tongues before, open your mouth and by an act of your will, an act of your faith, begin to move your tongue, begin to activate your vocal cord and begin to speak out. Don't worry about what it sounds like. The Holy Spirit down inside of you will bring forth an utterance, a language up out of your mouth, but you have to open your mouth. You have to use your vocal cords. You have to make a start. Come on, speak out. Just speak it out. In the name of Jesus. And Pastor Jay, maybe you and your team, if you know people, if you want to just float through, you guys, whatever the Lord, you know, it's your house. But Father, in Jesus' name, right now. And can I ask you to just turn those lights back up? Come on, just turn those lights back up. We're not doing this in the dark. We're not doing this in the subdued. We're not doing it in the shadows. Right now in front of God and everybody. Spirit of God, Spirit of God, flow, Spirit of God, flow, Spirit of God, flow. Some of you are releasing an aspect of a language of the Spirit that you've not spoken before. Don't be limited. You're going to learn that the more you use it, it will develop, it will change, it will develop, it will change, it will develop, it will change. Some people go 20 years with three syllables, but it's just because they haven't used enough and allowed the Holy Spirit to give them more. I say today, more over you, more over you, more over you, more over you. Holy, 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 holy Spirit. Holy, holy, come on. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Bella vosa gando riba I sonte. Preparate sicuro passanche rubiria sombande. Prebacaturoso. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, King Jesus. We worship you. We worship you. And Lord, we worship you today in languages of the Spirit. In language of the Spirit. We worship you. We worship you in the language of the Spirit. Just a little bit more, just a little bit longer. Breakthrough, breakthrough. Come on, come on. This is for you. This is for you. This is for you. Let yourself do this. Let get yourself go. Open your mouth. Act of faith. Set your will. Just speak out. Just begin to speak out. Just begin to speak. Just begin to speak. Out of your bellies, Jesus said, will come rivers of living water. Thank you, Jesus. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Receive, 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 receive. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy of a miracle. You're worthy of a miracle language flowing out of your people. Yes. Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Spirit of God, Spirit of God. Yes, 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 yes. Now, if you've received the start, if you've moved into something and it's a beginning and you've stepped into it, even if it's a little bit, do not discount that. You hear me? Do not discount that. You cannot make up a language. The devil's always telling people, well, this is just you. It is you, but it's not you. Holy, 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 holy. You can't make up a language, and the devil's not going to give you. The devil's not going to give you the gift of God. We thank you. Holy, 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 holy. And so we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Yeah, yeah. And then it'll just start flowing. It'll just start changing. It'll just start developing. And in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so when you leave here, if you've broken open, if you've broken through, but it's not complete, then when you get in your car, listen, I had another friend. He got saved in the Jesus movement. And he got born again. And he was so addicted to pot, and he couldn't get delivered. And so the pastor asked him if he was in California, asked him if he'd been filled with the Spirit. So he explained it to him. And so he said, you just go get in your car. He said, you just go get in your car, and you start praying in tongues when you get in the car. Just open your mouth, start praying in tongues. God will deliver you. 15 minutes later, he's going down the road in his car. Breaks into the language of the Spirit, and addiction to pot was gone. Bam, 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 bam. It happens all kinds of ways. It happens all kinds of ways. It happens all kinds of ways. So, Father, we just say thank you for your gift. Thank you, Lord. You said we would receive power. We are hungry for you, and we're hungry for what you have, that we might be able to be used of you even more that your power. So, Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. And I declare over every one of you today, even those of you that have been flowing in the Spirit a long time, I say over you today, there's a freshness.
Yes.
There's a freshness. There's a freshness. I'm telling you, this isn't hype. I'm telling you, I've done this hundreds of times. In Jesus' name, there's a freshness. There's a freshness. There's a freshness. There's more. There's more. There's more. There's more. There's more for you in Jesus' name. And even if it's been a tiny just beginning for you, then take that and use that. Honor God with that and trust Him. Use your faith. Use your faith and then let it will begin to come. And you'll know in 15 minutes that there's a river flowing out of you that's not even at all from you. In the name of Jesus, I declare that over you today. Freedom, 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 and filling, filling. I say, be filled with the Spirit, brothers and sisters. I say, be filled today. Be filled with the Spirit today, even on your way home, even as you're watching online, even as you watch the video. Be filled with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
Come on, why don't you lift up a little thanks to the Lord for Bob. It's in my heart that we would get back to the place where we don't have to stop because we have another service coming with flow. But here's the beauty of it. You're the church. This is not the church. So church continues in your home, in your cars, in the restaurant. So take what you've received, right, and continue to be activated in it and carry it to the streets. That's when revival happens, right? It's when the body is touched and then you guys go out and spread it out. So just bless you guys.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.